week, we were discussing this din, this Yichud Kodim Bia Rishonah. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Zechus Ksubis, even though it's obvious that a couple is permitted to be together, if they've married for 20 years, so the woman becomes a need, then there's obviously not a problem with Yichud. Why that's so is a whole lumdus, but nice, that's clearly the din. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, when it comes to Kodim Bia Rishonah, there's much more of a concern, we're afraid the Yitzhar is greater, and therefore even the Ishtar needed, there would be an Isra of Yichud. Would that Isra of Yichud be a real Isra of Yerais of Yichud, or maybe only an Isra of Rabban? And that was already a question, but for sure it's going to be Yasser. And the question is, how is that going to play out for us, Bizman Azeh? We spoke a little bit past about the concept of a Chupas Nida. So if you have a situation where you have a Chupas Nida, then obviously you're going to have to deal with this type of a scenario. How are you going to deal with it practically? So we said last week, there are two concerns. One is in the Yichud room itself, so that's the less of the concerns. So we'll just stick a little kid in there and basically call that a day. But the problem is after the wedding's over, they have to go home, so they can't go home together. They have to send, either they have to go, we talk about sending one person, two people with them, or they have to go to their parents' house, sister's house, etc. It gets a little bit complicated. But this is all assuming that you had a Chupas Nida. If you didn't have a Chupas Nida, then presumably we're in the clear, nothing to worry about. Not so simple. Because even in a regular case, thanks to modern medicine interventions, so we very rarely have real chuppas nidas b'zman hazeh. But we sometimes do have is as follows: that a couple got married and the woman was tahora, and they didn't succeed in having bia rishona for a while. So if a while becomes a long while, so it's quite possible that she's going to end up getting a period, and then we're going to in effect be in a situation of yichud kol bia rishona. So why that happens, why isn't it the couple is not matzliach to be right away, so that's a very, very common phenomenon. Sometimes chassan cows get very, very nervous about when that happens. They think there's something wrong with them, and then they speak to someone a little bit more experienced, they realize something's wrong with them. It's a very, very common phenomenon. Everyone has it, but a lot of couples have it. It's whatever, psychologically and other things, it takes a little bit of time in that area. Which usually it's a good sign, because it means that the couple has no familiarity with that area, which is what we want. So it takes time. It's very, very often takes time. But the problem is, now we have a halacha of Hilchas Yichud that's staring us in the face. So on the one hand, we want to tell the couple, relax, don't worry about it, let it take 2 weeks or whatever it is until you're matzliach to have a bia rishona. The only problem is that our not getting a period is not going to go on indefinitely. So how are we going to balance that act? So this is a big discussion that both give a very, very common shiloh I said today. And the question is really, we have to define for ourselves what exactly constitutes bia rishona for these purposes. We said that the Gemara formulates the Yisr, or the Yichud Kodim bia rishona, what exactly is bia rishona concerning these halachas? So what's considered to be bia rishona, at first glance, we shouldn't be dealing with the shaila now. This is a general shaila. What's considered to be a ma'aseh bia halacha? So the Gemara tells us that based on pesukim with Pashat Achrivos, Kedoshim, what's called Ha'ra'ah. We spoke a little bit about this in about Tamasulim. The Torah tells us that basically in Kol Torah Kula, wherever the Torah speaks about a din of ma'aseh bia, Ha'ra'ah is considered to be a ma'aseh bia. Ha'ra'ah means even just a partial bia, even a partial penetration. It's actually a very, just a technical machlek is in the Gemara, just how partial is partial. And we assume that it means, of course, Achnasas HaTorah. It's the beginning of the Abram of the man goes into the woman's body. That's already considered to be a Maisa of Hara. So if that's the case, that should be the defining feature of Biyah for these halachas as well. So as long as the couple did Hara, even though there wasn't even a complete penetration, there wasn't even a Zara, there was nothing of that nature, just the fact that they started to have a Maisa Biyah, presumably that should be enough to solve the problem of Yichud Kodim Bia Rishona. So the problem is still twofold. We're not 100% sure that statement is even true. The definition of Bia Kodim Akula should carry over here for the following reason. This is not a halachi issue. This is almost in a sense a psychological issue. Namely, the halacha is addressing the psychological reality is that Kol Zman that the couple has had Bia Rishona, we assume then the Yetzer is more controllable. If they haven't had Bia Rishona yet, so then they're much more excited and much more concerned, lest they be chayte. What ultimately changes that psychology? So you can tell me, because there's a din tucked away in the Sechas Yevam, it's called Haracha Kvarbiyah, so therefore the psychology follows the halacha, and we really love the psychology for that. So as we find very often in halacha, that certain halachas are reflections of the halachic reality, and certain halachas are a reflection of the physical reality. So here it's quite possible that this din is grounded in the physical world, it's grounded in the psychological world, it's grounded in the world of Yetzer Haras, it's grounded in a whole different area of halacha, in Hilchos Yibum, and Hilchos Kiddushin, Hilchos Lusol Isha Lakuna. Those are halachas that depend upon a formal, official Torah definition, objective definition of Maisadiyah. So the Torah includes Haras Pagrabiya here. That's not the goal. Here the goal is, have the couple, you know, experienced already a complete Maisabiya, they already had that experience, and then we can, you know, relax the standards in terms of Hilchos Yichud. So one can argue, a big chumrah in this, one can argue that Hara is not good enough for these purposes, that it has to be a real, bona fide Maisabiya to the fullest extent. So that's a question that some folks give raised. That could potentially spell a possible chumrah for us. On the other hand, there may be an important kula for us. Now that we take a look back on page 20, my book number one, towards the end of the page, so it's the beginning of CD 14. So my book number one. Page 21 is my book number 5. So the Ramah, at the beginning of that Maramachom, where the Shulchan Aruch has told us the din for Maseches Ksuvos, that if a woman is in Nida, before Bir Rishona, is going to spell Nisa Yichud. So Ramah quotes the following Kula from the Trumas Adeshin. Yesh Omrim, the second line in the Maramachom. Yesh Omrim, Haisa Tahora Kishen, he says, if the woman was Muteres when they got married, at the time of the Chuppah, she was Muteres, and they didn't have relations yet, Upir Sanida Acharkach, and then she gets a period later, Ein Zach Shimer Od, then this entire halacha doesn't apply. Why not? Isn't this classic Nida Kodim Bir Rishona? So Chumas Adeshin suggests, no, that there's a big difference between the classic and the scenario. The classic is, she was Nida at the time of the Chuppah. Here, she was not Nida at the time of the Chuppah, she becomes a Nida later on. What's the difference psychologically? So Chumas Adeshin says, it's all the difference in the world. In the case where she was Muteres at the time of the Chuppah, and they didn't have Bia for the last day, and the next day, and the next day, 5 days, and they're not together, then all of a sudden it disappears a Nida. So you see that this guy psychologically is not so excited. You see that he can't control himself. Haraya, he wasn't together with his new wife, even though he could have been, and still the is, I can't call it the Yetzer Hara, because that would have been the Yetzer Tov, wasn't burning, the desire wasn't so burning, and he was able to control himself. So now he'll control himself for another 2 weeks. The same way he controlled himself for 5 days, he'll control himself for the next 2 weeks. So if a med devamamurim that this concern exists, that's if she was asura b'shas naisa, b'shas chuppah, so then he has never had a chance to prove himself that he's not so excited. So that's an interesting svar. So again, a psychological svar from the Shumas Adeshen. So the Ramah quotes it as Yesh Omrim. Then Ramach Metavei LaBrocha. Then he quotes from the Shumas Adeshen himself, who says he's not even so sure, you know, make lomdash a chilukim in psychology. It's hard to be mishar. Maybe it's a psalo plug, maybe across the board. If she's a nida, before being Rishona, she's a sura. We have no right to make such a psychological, you know, evaluation and to be matir. So the Truma Sadesh himself backpedals a little bit. But you get the impression from the Truma Sadesh and from the Ramah that me'ikir adin, it's okay. The big difference between saying something's asur and mach metavel bracha. So you get the impression that me'ikir adin, this svar really does make sense. So now we have multiple things flying at us. So again, common shayla, happens all the time. A couple, you know, calls. It's 3-4 days. They've been married already. They have not yet had Bir Rishona. Now, boom, she becomes a Nida. Now, where do you go from here? So the first question you have to ask: well, did they do anything at all? Did they at least do Hara? So, if they did Hara, then we can discuss. Maybe that's like Bir. Maybe it's not like Bir for them. Then, number two, can we discuss? Does this Shumas Adeshen? Should we follow this? The Yesh Omrim Me'ikra Din, it's such a hassle for them for 2 weeks. So Tavol Lechem Brach, we'll give them another Brach. Maybe they don't have to follow this Chumrah. So does the Shumas Adeshen really apply or not? So back and forth, those are the issues that the Tosfos give them on, and the Tosfos can grapple with just how we should deal with these kinds of shittos. So there is a, on the next page, page 22, this is a piece from Rav Yosef Sefer Taras HaMayis, where he describes in real terms, very, very common application of the Shia, with all the pros and cons. We'll try to go through this piece, a good part of this piece together, to see, analyze how this plays out in the mindset. at the top of page 22, so Rav Avadya begins, I don't know what the Cheshev HaEifod was, one of the 10 million Chuvas that Rav Avadya quotes daily. So in the Shas Chuvas Cheshev HaEifod, Nisha was asked the following Shana, Odes Chason, Shabalayla Rishon, Bikesh Lekayim Bilas Mitzvah, that he wanted to be together with his wife. She was hesitant a little bit. Again, also happens. She was a little nervous, whatever it was. So he didn't, they weren't matzliach the first night. That they didn't have mamash bia together, but they were trying, they were close. They were lying together, but it wasn't mamash and maisa bia. But again, he was tired. Shevet brachas does not bode well for these situations. And then, lo and behold, the chakach person now she becomes a nida. So they're 2 days into the wedding. The first night they weren't matzliach. The second night they weren't matzliach. Now what do you do? The heishiv shehu ragil horos. Not sure what that Rashi Tavis was, but he is ragil horos that he would regularly give the following psak. Shim hayu kvar v'kiru basar. That as long as they were together a little bit, kibur basar, el shloit zliach al chasam lahotzi machshavtom in a koch lapol abilas mitzvah. Even though they didn't really truly succeed in having a real bias mitzvah, as ein aleim yosef chiv shmira, so the chiv shmira doesn't apply anymore. Shachasin yishem ben anoshim v'chulei. That they don't have to follow that din maseches ksubas. Aladinam kicholish v'isha shater idalein sugim b'shishan. They become like a regular married couple, and would we apply the sugim maseches Sanhedrin? But the Gemara says sugim b'shishan, that literally the hedge of roses. The Gemara quotes that commenting on the pasuk in Shirashirim that all you need to separate between the man and the woman is a hedge of roses, i.e. the red blood serves as a gather. And he says that we can apply the regular din of a married couple. It's as if they're married for 50 years already. It's the same thing. The rail is it. Now he's going to try to bring the rail. It's quite chiddush because at the end of the day, they did not have beer yet. So what's the rail? The rail is it. Masha kosva tumas adeshin v'ravah. Shem haisa tahora kishenises. V'lobol ha'pirsanid ha'chakach eidam tzichim shmira. Chen hiski mashach melkudis ha'kesef. He says that... What the Jewish Adeshin writes is that as long as she was Muteres, Vishas, Maisa, the time of the Chuppah, the fact she became a Surah later doesn't matter. Even though the Ramah, the Jewish Adeshin, were a little bit weary to pass in that way, he says the Shach writes that that's the Ike Iker Hadin. But now he throws in a monkey wrench. Don't say, the Shiny Nido, the Jewish Adeshin, Shira'inu Dlo Tokif La Yitzrei. In the case of the Jewish Adeshin, it's clear that the couple doesn't have, the man doesn't have such a tremendous yetzer, because haraya, there was no reason why he wasn't involved. After the last 5 days, he could have, and he wasn't, so that shows that he's in control. Aval Khan, in this case, shevigesh levo, he wanted to. Ela shlohayu sibo shlobo, the first night he wanted to, she didn't, she couldn't. The second night, he was too exhausted. So that doesn't indicate that he controls his yetzer. Just indicates that there were technical realities on the ground. So he says that would be that would not bode well for this kula. Even if you want to accept the kula, maybe it doesn't apply here. So maybe in this scenario, which the case that the Chesh Eifer is describing is the common case. That's the normal case, is Manazah. So he says maybe that wouldn't be bound by the kula Tzimus Adeshin. Ze'eno. He says, nope, he doesn't think so. So he says, what was the Tumas Adesh talking about? Well, I think the Tumas Adesh was talking about the Otto B'Shuftini Askinan. So I mean, he went to the first 5 nights, he went to sleep. Nothing. Obviously, there's a reason why they weren't together. So whatever the problems in the 1400s in Germany were, the same problems in the 1900s in the Eretz Yisrael, says the Rav Avadya. It's the same thing. Elavada chol shalavu alef filu machmas ezos yivakala muchoch lo tok le yitzikol kach. So comes Rav Avadya and comes the Chev Sheishman and says, we don't know what the case that Jewish Nation was dealing with. Between you and me, we have no way of knowing what he was dealing with, because he wasn't even dealing with the case, because the Shahs and Chuvas and Deshin were not Chuvas to a specific case. There were things that he wanted to talk about, so he made up Shahs. He said it was the ultimate Shah of the week, except that he made up the Shahs, not the way I do it. If I get really desperate 1 week, I may follow the model of the Chuvas and Deshin, but so far I've been honest about that. We have Khan. So now he says that, now he goes on. So he says, so the first kula he says, is the Chumash Adeshen. So even though, again, the Chumash Adeshen wasn't so sure, but Mikra Din E, that's what we follow. The Av Khan, Shiyashin Ima Bekiru Basar, Umach was Eifutz, though it's Lech Lechayim Yes Mitzvah. So to over here, that he was trying, and he was too exhausted, Chazin El Tavala Yitzrei. So we see that he's not such a big Yitzhara. Umash Abikesh Lava Elev Ne Lifrachovo. So it's a lush out of a different context. So the Av Shiyashin was Adeshen, Vera Masimu, Shemach Betavala Bracha, even though you're hinging upon the Chumash Adeshen and the Ramah, but they themselves conclude Mach Metavala Bracha. So he says, though, this is better than the Chumash Adeshen. You can see Mamashal Poisek's working. We thought that maybe this is like the Chumash Adeshen, and then we thought maybe it's worse than the Chumash Adeshen. Now we say, no, now it's better. Why is it better? Benido Vidon in Tzorach Lahachmir Klal. He said, in our Shaila, the common scenario today, you don't have to be Machmir. Okay, which is Shachbu Mekiruv Basar. He says, because at least they did something. So what is he saying? He's always saying, like, psychologically, we said before, just as we said, you don't need a Maisa Bia, what do we call it, or a Kula, maybe even a lower level Maisa Bia is good enough. Upamim Rabosh, Eina Chasanim Atzlichim Lavolu Degmar Bia, B'meshech Mispa Shavuos O Chadoshim. He says this is a common, that it happened, it could take weeks, it could take months, and now he says this is, I can't say how more on target this particular Tshuva is. V'yadua She'ikah B'zetoli V'agos Ha'atzavim. This is very modern, terminology. Says, well, as Kayadua, every rabbi who deals with this knows that the source for this entire complication is nerves. So he says that if you calm, if the chassid kala calm down, things will happen much, much better. Filachain, he says, listen to this lashon. Hamora l'hachmer bazeh. If somebody wants to be machmer in the shayla, what's he going to tell? What are the ramifications of the chumra in this? He's going to tell the chassid kala, sorry, now it's 5 days after the wedding. Guess what? Call your parents and say you're moving in for 2 weeks. That's what that would translate to mean. Machmer bazeh yochosh liatzmo shushover bekachas rucho shalachosim. You should just know what's going to happen, what the ramifications of this psach are. You're going to break things. The guy, as it is, he's all stressed out. He'll make more stressed out. Kisidur Hashmira Gorim Tsa'arav Lachosin Makal Kroveim. So he says that to set up a situation where they're going to be under scrutiny for 2 weeks is going to be very, very, very difficult for them and for their relatives. This is not a good way to start off a marriage. V'acharisa mi yishurena. Poetic lashon. Who knows what the end of this is going to? You can't see mi yishurena. Asherena v'lokarav. Who knows what ramifications is going to have down the line? Parents are going to know about it, and hey, it's going to be a disaster. Adkan. So, quite a fascinating gula. Ulam. Now, Adkan, the Cheshva Eifel. Now, Rav Avadi continues. Ulam. The Sefer Dvar Locha B'Tshuva Kosov. Again, I'm not familiar with all the different Poskim movies he's quoting. Shim lo igia chosam mechlal ha'ara. He quotes from one of the other Echvaron was saying that, the Cheshva Eifel went a little bit too far. Cheshveifel was matia with kirubasa, which is halachically mamish meaningless. So the Tvar Halacha writes that if they haven't even had hara, ela shechiva bekirubasa and ashika, just barely touched in that area. Ashika is a code phrase when the Gemara says yavamas. Vechakach piyash sadida, hater avagoyin. I think this must be Rav Nissim Karela, if I'm not mistaken. Shemba ma'isek is alafnei agoyin achazanish v'horash asur biyichud adkan. Quote that Maaseh Shoya was brought to the Chazanish, that the Chazanish was not willing to be Mekil if there wasn't at least Hara. Umuchach, now in the brackets of Avadi says, Umuchach, Shigam Chazanish, Svirleg, Shakal Panim, Asa Hara, Mutar Biyichud. So the Chazanish was Machmir if there was Mamish nothing, but he was Mekil if there was a little bit of something. So now you have almost like three different possibilities in the Maaseh. You can stick to the guns and say, nope, unless there was a Gemar Biyam Mamish with a full. So then we're not going to be Mati Yichud, that would be the biggest Chumrah. You can be the biggest Nekel and say that they made a half-baked effort, attempt at something that's also good enough. And others, like the Chazanesh, who are walking the tightrope saying, Hara, we're going to give in on, because Hara is Dino Kabiyam Kol Tarakula. Less than Hara, that we're not going to concede. Now, Ravadi, after quoting all three passages, Ulin Halacha, how should we pass it in the Shaila? So it says, Ravadi, Ulin Halacha, nearly, Shakol lefi ra'os einei hamora hara. Says the Rav in this type of shayla has a little bit of discretion to decide. The imyira, I found this pshat very fascinating. The imyira she'achos mekal yirei shemayim says that the couple are really yirei shemayim. V'yein chashash kol kach shevo de isachash. Such tamei mistakes, such yirei shemayim. They're not going to do anything wrong. If I tell them, listen, you can be together with yichud for the next 2 weeks. All the message is assured to you. So that in of itself, the more yirei shemayim that they are, the less concern that there is. V'gam yesh tircha b'sidur hashmira, and kayadua, there's always going to be a big tircha to arrange the shmira. Yuchol lismoch al divrei harav al cheshev eifod l'hokel. He says, one who wants to rely on the cheshev eifod has a right to rely on the cheshev eifod. This is b'tziruf, we gave the introduction last week, that this is probably only midirabanan. That this whole issue of yichud couldn't be rishon is probably a midirabanan anyway. It's interesting because the person who we're quoting for that is the Chazanish. The Chazanish was the one who proved from the Raivan last week that this issue is only midirabanan, even though the Chazanish himself was only willing to be made with Hara, but we can almost take that piece of the Chazanish and then rely on the other post given effect. The chaim is bar midivri yedidenu, agon ulezid of Waldenberg, b'shut tzitzel yezid, chelik b'avayshav. He says that the tzitzel yezid of Waldenberg was mekel as well. So two noshim gedoylem, poskim gedoylem, chashuvim, Rav Yosef of Waldenberg, were both mekel and the shayla, and me'ikim mikir adin, even if tzashtichol ki rambasar, is good enough. And I can't say about all rabbanim, but Lamai says, right, tell people, when these shaylas come up, the first thing you do is try to be, with the lashon about the atzavim, try to calm everybody down. The best way to calm everybody down is to explain to them that everybody has, a lot of people have the same problem. The biggest reason why it becomes nerve-wracking when you think there's something wrong with you, so then that something becomes wrong with you. So if you just convince them that there's nothing wrong with them, you just relax, so then, and also forget, psychologically I've also found, is if you tell them, what's the problem? The problem is that Chazan Ben Torah. So he learned the Sugya, he knows a little bit, he took a Chazanita class, he knows a little bit, and he has weighing on him, Gevald, if we're not Matzliach, now we're going to be a Sugya for the next 2 weeks. So what do? So you tell him, no, that's not the din. The din is like Rav Avadya says, you're going to be Mutarim anyway. You tell him this before it happens. When he calls you frantic that he knows that his wife's going to get it for the next day or two, so tell him, don't worry about it, it's not going to make a difference anyway. We're going to pass Kishin Mutaris anyway. So if he knows you're going to pass Kishin Mutaris anyway, so then he's less nervous, so then it'll be Matzliach. I found that also, that if you tell him, Gevalt, you better rush, because who knows what's going to happen, so you have to play games with the psychology a little bit. So the Rav's got to get a little bit of a psychological toying around also. But so, nice, and when all the dust settles, since Baruch Hashem we're only dealing with Yirei Shemayim, Rav Avadya said the Chosikal Yirei Shemayim, so we have a right to be a little more mekel. That's the minig amongst many Mori Harad today, is to be a little more lenient about the Shaila. What we do try to do sometimes to give the Chosikal a little bit of a window in this area that we got nothing come, push comes to shove. Most girls today are on the pill before they get married. So the pill is going to regulate their period, and you want to make sure that there's not going to be chuppas nida. So what we can sometimes do is that usually if all goes regular the first night, or the first night, second night, if they have the rishona, so then we would tell the woman to come off the pill right away. Because you come off the pill, then you'll get your period in about 2 days, and then sure, so we might as well kill two birds with one stone. Let her have dam. She's going to be dam soon anyway. So we did dam besulim, but be a rishon. She's going to be a surah anyway for almost 2 weeks. So let her get the period at the same time, and shun. Then 2 weeks later, she'll go to the mikvah. So the normal protocol will be: come off the pill as soon as your matzliach would be a rishona. Come off the pill. So in theory, once you're working with the pill, that gives you a little bit of a buffer zone, because let's say the first night did not matzliach, the second night did not matzliach, third night matzliach. So I'll tell the girl, stay on the pill. Just stay on another day. Stay on another day. As long as she's still taking the pill, she's not going to get a period. So push off. It depends which kind of pills. There are two different ways of doing it. There are some women who go on regular birth control pills. So if you're on regular birth control pills, then you just have to play with it. You don't take the placebos. When you start taking the placebo, that's what causes the period to come. So just keep her on the regular pill for another couple of days. If some don't want to go on a regular pill. Sometimes there are reasons why maybe it's better not to. There's another halacha out there, which is she's not on a regular birth control pill. She's just literally just taking pills of progesterone. So if I'm not mistaken, progesterone pills will also hold off the pyramid, right? And that medically, I think that's what can happen. So she's on a progesterone-only pill, which will just keep the lining of the uterus intact for X amount of times. Cosmandi, you take it. So there are different opinions in doctors as to which is the better route to go in the normal circumstances. Yeah, I don't want to say it's 100% true medically, but my experience in this has shown that very often it depends on what kind of doctor we're dealing with. That the OBGYNs are more likely to prescribe the birth control pills. What was explained to me, again, I'm giving a serious modal that this may not be accurate medically, I don't know, but the way it was explained to me was, is that in the OBGYN world, so birth control pills, that's the mahalach. I mean, everyone's on, 90% of the world are on birth control pills. So if that's the pills that they're comfortable with prescribing and monitoring, etc. If a woman doesn't want to go down that route and be on birth control pills for a couple of months before the wedding, so there's another mahalach, which is we found that the endocrinologists are more prone to sometimes be comfortable with prescribing, and that's just on the progesterone pills. Because progesterone pills are just, they're almost like a stopper. They're almost like, just like an emergency, just to hold us off for this period. So it's not something that in the regular world of OBGYN, you wouldn't go on a progesterone pill, but for these kinds of situations, just to enable it not to be chupas nida, so this is a common type of a situation. Anyway, back to the story. So what we'll tell the woman is, just stay on the pill. Either stay on the, don't go on to the placebo on the birth control pill yet, or stay on the progesterone pill another couple of days. Just make believe you didn't get married yet. That's cool. Cold man, you haven't had beer rishona. Just make believe you're still pre-wedding. As soon as you're matznich and beer rishona, 2 days later, 2 days later, 5 days later, then you come off the pill. So what I've also found is you have to make sure that the kala knows this beforehand. Because what happens, very often, the kala has this great plan, because the doctor told her, she got a month's prescription, and the doctor told her, take the pill until the night of your wedding. The night of your wedding, so then you come off and you get your period the next day or two. So what happens? So they go away, they're in some hotel somewhere after the wedding, and it's the night of her wedding, she doesn't have any more pills. And now she's not going to be home for another 3 days. I know she's running off to California for Sherbrooke or something, and she doesn't have any pills with her. And because she thought that the night of a wedding meant the night of a wedding. Little does she know that what the doctor really meant is, the doctor didn't know that, but what he really meant was the night of Bir Rishona, which may be 5 days later. So I always, when I talk to the girls, this comes up, so I always remind them, just make sure you have a full supply. You may have to continue the pills for a couple of days later. So now that Ralph Nalman became a psychologist, became a pharmacist, and a combination of everything. He's got to wear a lot of different hats. Whatever it is, anyway, but she should always check with her doctor as to how long this can go on. She can't take the pills for indefinitely, so you have to always make sure that you're not doing anything that's medically not sound. So between the doctor and the rabbi and everybody else, hopefully we'll be able to solve this dilemma. But again, this dilemma is a very, very common scenario. Okay. All right, let's begin, because we can begin, in a sense, a new sugya, a little bit of a new sugya. And the new sugya is probably, well, what I would call the introduction to chupas nida. They sound a little bit strange because we have been learning chupas nida for a year and a half. So when we read the introduction to chupas nida, it's almost the advice of the introduction to chupas nida, because there are two important terms that appear in the Chumash concerning nida. One is nida, one is zava, and we haven't really defined those two terms properly. The reason why we've been comfortable learning chupas nida for a year and a half and not defining that is because bisman hazeh doesn't really make much of a difference. Nida and zava depend on when in a cycle she's bleeding, but tachlas lamaisa, when all the dust settles, all the derabundans, and every other chumras that end up lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether we're dealing with a woman who's a nida or a woman who's a zava. It doesn't matter when in the cycle the bleeding is coming. If it's a surah, it's a surah. If it's muteris, it's muteris. But Ava Bichein, it is important for us to understand the background of where this nida came to where it is today. You have to understand a little bit about what the pure deraisinika categories are. So it is important to be familiar with this. So we're going to take our cues from Ravina and Rav Ashi. Because strangely enough, maybe for this reason, when Ravina and Rav Ashi were Masadim and Seches Nida, so they put together all the sugyas in the Gemara, this sugya appears in the Gemara in the last daf. 76 blot into Masechta's Nida, and we were able to learn the entire Masechta without being told that what Nida Derais was over Derais is, because at the end of the day, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. But the days of Ravina Ravashi also didn't make the slightest bit of difference. So I guess we'll follow in the footsteps of the Amorim, but we're up to page 23 in the Maramakamos, but we're ready now to begin to learn a little bit of the Sugya. The truth is, when we learn the Sugya, we really should start the Sugya with Psuk, Hashem Baruch Chumash, instead of the Maramakamos. It's just Psukim right out of Chumash. So there are really, in a sense, two parshios of Nida, and one of the parshios of Nida is broken down into two categories, and that becomes our topic. What I mean by the two parshios of Nida is Nida in terms of the Isser Labayma, so that appears actually in two places also. That appears in Achrimoth and in Kedoshim. In Achrimoth, the Torah says, Velisha Benidas to Moslo Sikrov. In parshios Kedoshim, the Torah speaks about the ownership of Kares. It says it in Achrimoth also, but it says it again in parshios Kedoshim. So the Isser Labayma, the Isser Hetta part of Nida that's relevant for us today, that appears in one place. But then in the end of Parshas Mitzora is the Parsha of Nida in the context of Tumah, and the reality is the woman becomes Tumeya. The Manazeth doesn't mean that much, but she becomes Tumeya, and there the Torah puts the Parsha of Nida in the context of many of the other Tumas Hayotza Mikufa Adam. The Torah speaks about Tumas Za'a for a man, and Tumas Keri for a man, and then the Torah speaks about Tumas Nida for a woman. In the end, then the Torah says in Acharos and Kedoshim, whoever is a Nida, you know, each of Nida's Tumasa, whoever is has Tumas Nida, Lo Sikrov is an Isser of Bia. How do you know who has Tumas Nida? So go back to Parshas Mitzora and figure it out. So what does it say in Parshas Mitzora? So there the Torah presents two different scenarios, two different parshas, and the Torah is very clear what the factor is. In one case, it's a woman who's experiencing bleeding at a normal time of our cycle, and the other case is when it's an abnormal time. The Torah says, in the first parasha, the isha kisiyah zava dam yezava b'sarayim. The Torah does use the word zava. Zava there doesn't mean halachic zava. Zava just means the flow. So the Torah speaks about a woman who's bleeding. And then the next parasha, the Torah says, the isha kiyazum zav dava yemin below es nidasa. That it's not the normal time of a period, implying that the first parasha was the normal time. So it's clear as day, there are two different scenarios the Torah is drawing for us. One is, in a sense, a normal cycle, and one is, in a sense, an abnormal cycle. What are the differences, lahalacha? So the Torah says explicitly, and in the first parasha, when it's normal, shivas yomim tia v'nidasa. So she becomes a surah, or tmeya. Tmeya obviously translates, based on Achimel's Kedoshim, becoming a surah. Shivas yomim, 7 days. What does that mean practically? It means exactly what it sounds like. Say a woman gets a period Sunday morning, so we apply the pasuk Shivas Yom Tiyav Nidasa. So she's Asura on Sunday, she's Asura on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, 7 days. The 7 days are up, so she goes to the mikvah. Every person with stomach has to go to the mikvah. She goes to the mikvah on Shabbos, and she's Mutara, she's Tehora, and Mutara Slabayla. Was she bleeding during those 7 days? Of course she was bleeding. The Torah is talking about a regular period. Regular periods don't last for a day, so she was bleeding. How many days was she bleeding? 5 days, 6 days, maybe 7 days, I don't know. As long as she was bleeding, comes the end of the 7 days, she was Yom Tiyah B'nidasa, sure, she goes to the mikvah and finished, and she's Mutaris. That's the Din D'Oraisa of the Parasha of Nida. Notice what's conspicuously missing. There's nothing about clean days, nothing about bedikas, none of that exists, because that's exactly in the model of the Torah. In a regular period, she was Yom Tiyah B'nidasa. Then the next psukim starts to tell us a whole different story. So it's below es nidasa. It's not at the regular time of a period. But here the Torah speaks about yomim rabim. It happens a bunch of times, a few times. The first parasha didn't say anything about happening a few times. The first parasha says it happened one time. One riyas dam. She becomes a nida, no question about it, for an entire week. In the second parasha, two things have begun to change for us. First of all, it's below es nidasa. And second of all, it's yomim rabim. And then there's a third change. The Torah starts to talk about v'im tara b'zolva v'safra l'shivas yom v'achatitar. All of a sudden, there's a whole, it's the same number 7, but it's a totally different picture. Here the Torah is talking about 7 days which are clean. V'im tara b'zolva means the bleeding has stopped, v'safra l'shivas yom, she's counting 7 days. Maybe it means she's checking herself 7 days, maybe she's counting, we're not exactly sure what she's doing, but it's a whole new institution that we never heard of in the first parasha. So there are at least three differences between the first parasha and the second parasha. First parasha, there's no mention of how long this is lasting. The second parasha talks about Yom and Ravim. The first parasha is clearly talking about a normal time. The second parasha is talking about an abnormal time. The first parasha, there's no mention of Shivas Yomim, of Tahara. The second parasha talks about Shiva, what we call Shiva Nikiyim. There's a fourth difference, not so relevant for us. The first basha, there's no mention of a korban. The second basha, she has to bring a korban if she wants to come to the base of Mikdash. Not to be to her husband, she wants to come to the base of Mikdash, she can't chum chum, etc. So she has to, we got the chupa. If she's comes to the base of Mikdash, she has to bring a korban. So there are at least four glaring differences between the two bashas. What, of course, behooves us to define is, well, how do you know whether your first basha, how do you know whether your second basha? So it has something to do with when the cycle of the blood is, and it has something to do with how long, how many days the bleeding was. So we barely scratched the surface, which is going to set us up for Mitzvah hopefully next week, to understand what is needed deraisa, what is of a deraisa. And once we figure out what the dim deraisa are, then we have to figure out what the dim derabanan are, how we end up with the way we are with Manazet. So Mitzvah next week.